of Jonah. And Pastor Donald, make sure Miss Barb gets that. Amen. Make sure Miss Barb gets that. We're in the book of Jonah, chapter number 4. Miss Barb, that's Miss Phyllis. You just help yourself. Miss Barb's right in the back there. Just wave at him so he knows who you are, Miss Barb. Amen. You really are on his prayer list. He knows you. Amen. But the song just threw him for a loop. Amen. And I got all my ERT guys ready. Got all my ERT guys ready there, Pastor Donald. And we started, I was going to say 4 weeks ago, but really 4 messages ago, we were out under the tabernacle, and I preached on the prodigal prophet. The prodigal prophet. And we looked in chapter 1 at the directions in verses 1 and 2, and God had given specific directions. He wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach the word of God. So then after the directions, we looked and saw the disobedience. Jonah went the exact opposite direction. And by the way, don't look at me with those halos on your head, because the only thing keeping them up is your horns. You've done the exact same thing. Amen. God told you to do something, impressed on you to do something, and you didn't do it. Say, how do you know, Pastor? I'll give you a personal for instance. God gave me, literally just had me to give a tract to somebody. He said, prompted me like he does you. He doesn't speak out loud. And he hasn't spoken out loud since he spoke to the Apostle John on Patmos. Okay? But he speaks in our heart, and he moved on my heart, Brother Jim, said, give that man a track, and you know what? I walked right by the man. Say, oh, no. Yeah. And you have too. Otherwise, you're not listening. Because if you don't think God wants us to hand out tracks, you're missing it. And I know I've done that. And there's been times, praise God, where God just wouldn't leave me alone about it. And I stopped and ran back to the man in dress shoes. And I said, excuse me, sir, I passed you by. I'm so sorry. I wanted to give you this. And I don't think that that's ever happened, Pastor Mark, but the person said, thank you. Maybe that's not part of the message, but maybe that's it. Maybe it's a little urgency. Maybe a little urgency. If people saw it really mattered enough to us to sweat a little and come back, maybe they would take. I don't know. Amen. But Jonah, in his disobedience, he went to flee unto Tarshish. And then we noticed the disturbance. And that was, of course, that God had prepared. He sent out, it says in verse 4 of chapter 1, a great wind in the sea. And there was this great tempest. And then we saw the desperation. The men said, we got to figure what's going on here. I don't know what's going on. And they cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. And then we had that detection where the lot came to Jonah, and they said, tell us what's going on. They had a dialogue. And Jonah said, well, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God that made heaven and the earth. And they knew that it was because of him that this had caused. And then they made a decision. Jonah said, throw me over the side and it'll cease. And then after that decision, we saw the divine calm in chapter 1. And from chapter 1, we learned some things. We learned that the commands of God are non-negotiable, ladies and gentlemen. God is not interested in what we think that what he tells us. He's not interested in that. If he tells us to do something, we can do it. And we're supposed to do it. And we should do it. And we must do it. Amen. The commands of God are non-negotiable. Secondly, we looked at the compassion of God for all people. You know, there are people that think God is only compassionate toward the Jews because his word came first through the Jews and to the Jews. But I'm here to tell you, in the Old Testament, God cared about these wicked Ninevites. I'm here to tell you today, God cares about all people. There's all this. This life matters and that life matters. Listen, all lives matter. Calvary tells me that all lives matter. I don't care what the Calvinist says. I care what Calvary says. Amen? And Calvary says all lives matter. It said that we saw the compassion of God for all people. We saw how the chastening of God is limitless in scope. Listen, if you think you can run away from God, you have got another thing coming. He can spank you in more ways than your mother or father could have ever thought of. Hallelujah. In this chapter. I mean, he uses a wind, he uses a storm, he uses a giant fish, amen, to chasten his child. God can use anything and everything to get your attention. It works out a whole lot better when you just let this get your attention. Amen? So we talked about the chastening of God. It's limitless in scope. The commitment of God to reach people. God was committed to reaching Nineveh. And he over and over displayed his commitment to reach Nineveh by his dealings with Jonah. And then lastly, in chapter 1, we looked at the choice of God's man. You know, you and I, God gives us a free will. God gives us a free will. We can obey or disobey. We can choose to obey or disobey. We can't choose the consequences of either. They're built in. So we looked at that in chapter 1, that prodigal prophet. Then in chapter 2, we looked at the prepared prophet and how God prepared several things. In chapter 1, he prepared a great wind. In chapter 1, verse 17, he prepared a great fish. And then we'll look at here in chapter 4, he prepared three things, a gourd, a worm, and an east wind. And we looked at Jonah's distress and how it was physical, it was mental, it was emotional. And we looked at God's discipline, how God disciplined him through the storm and through the sea and through the stomach of the fish, how, again, God chastened him. And then we looked at the declarations, very important out of Jonah chapter 2. Jonah declared that affliction caused Jonah to pray. I'm here to tell you that's still true, ladies and gentlemen. It is much less likely that we will pray on the mountaintop than we will in the valley. Huh? Everybody with me? Amen? We're absolutely right. Affliction caused Jonah to pray, chapter 2, verse 2. Separation caused Jonah to pursue, chapter 2, verse number 4. There it says, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." You see, ladies and gentlemen, when we feel separated from God, it should cause us to get back and pursue Him again. I want things the way they were. I want that relationship to be repaired. Amen. It was separation that had caused Jonah to pursue. And then we looked at how, praise God, chapter 2, verse 5 through 9. I don't have time to go through it all, but look at verse 9. It says there, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed." The situation caused Jonah to praise. I don't know about you, but when things go my way, man, I praise the Lord. I do. I do. But I don't think, Brother Bob, that the belly of a fish would qualify as going my way. You know what I learned? When you really repent and God gets a hold of your heart, you will allow that situation to cause you to praise Him. Because you got back to Him. And that's what Jonah wanted, amen? He wanted to be back with God. And so we have there, and then lastly, in that chapter, we have the distress and the discipline and the declarations. We have the deliverance in verse 10. "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land." We talked about some things to do when you're overwhelmed. Remember, repent, and return to the Lord, amen? Then in chapter 3, we looked at not only the prodigal prophet and the prepared prophet, but we looked at the privileged prophet. Say, why was Jonah a privileged prophet? Well, verse 10 tells us he was privileged because he was spewed out by the Word of God. I know that word is not that pleasant, but it says there right there in verse 10, I'll just read what the Bible says. It says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish," that was the Word of God speaking to His creation, "and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land." I don't know of anyone else in the Bible who had that privilege. Huh? But he was privileged in the fact that it was the Word of God. Hey, listen, we mentioned this. God not only created everything, but He's in charge of everything. You read Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, by whom all things were created. But verse 17 says, by whom all things consist. Why is the world still spinning on nothing? I'll tell you why. G-O-D, God. That's why. Amen. And so he was spewed out by the Word of God. He was spoken to again by the mercy of God. Look at it. Verse 1 of chapter 3. "And the Word of the Lord came unto Jonah." When? The second time. Praise God for second chances. Amen. Amen. It says he served again by the grace of God, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And then he saw a great moving of the Spirit of God. Nineveh repented. They repented, amen. We looked at a few things in chapter 3. God is more concerned with his workers than with their work. Don't ever forget that, workers. Brother Jim, Miss Kim saw you today, prayed for you, many prayed for you. That first part of the service was rough. I said, I don't know who that boy was, but I mentioned this morning, he was, Miss Sherry Jordan said, she said, class didn't go that good. And I saw this boy, he was hanging on to the handle, kind of keeping the door shut. I said, hey, buddy. And he came walking up to me and went, and then just ran the other way. I said, no, come here, don't go that way. And he just kept running. I said, or just do what you want, whatever is fine, amen. I don't want to cause an incident. And Brother Jim did the same thing. He's like, come here. Okay, I'm going to call your parents. And it was just one of those days. You know what? Listen to me, Mr. and Mrs. Boston. I'm not preaching to you. God is more concerned with you than your work. Now, if God is more concerned with Mr. and Mrs. Boston, they know that God is more concerned with him. They want to work for him. Want to help him in his work. Amen. So that's so important in that chapter. And then also, God delights to use those who have spiritually failed. Jonah not only failed, but he was going to fail again, as we'll see. God loves to use failures. Can I say this? That's all the material he's got to work with. Amen. Thank the Lord. And then lastly, God still blesses simple obedience. All God ever wanted was to Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach in the city to repent. And God blessed. So now we're in chapter 4 here. And I've got several points and sub-points, and Brother Hendershot would be proud of me. Amen. Notice, if you would, chapter 4, verse 1. Notice the provocation there. The provoking or the provocation. So here, remember, what happened in chapter 3? There was a great moving in Nineveh. Basically, the entire city repented. And it starts off with the phrase, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. I don't know about you, Brother Leonard, but God had dealt kindly and graciously to Nineveh and they repented. Man, I would be on cloud nine. We'd be sending out tweets and Facebook statuses and all that. And the entire city of Jackson got saved, and all of Jackson County and Battle Creek and all the way over to Chelsea, and God help those people in Chelsea. Amen. This is what Jonah did. And it's amazing. I've said this so many times. The Word of God, God doesn't just put in filler words. He's not just looking for space. The Holy Spirit wrote the words. It says there in chapter 4, verse 1, it displeased Jonah what? What's the adverb there? Exceedingly. And he was very angry. I'm telling you what, very few times in my life I've been very angry. I don't think a revival would cause it. But he was. The provocation. And then secondly, we see his prayer. We know it's a prayer because it says, and he prayed. But that prayer, when you look at it, it says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord. Was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That's not really much of a prayer, is it? Gives a new meaning to the term, are you weary, are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus, amen. What do we see here? We see complaint. We see complaint. He's complaining. But you know what else there? We see the complaint is based on his confession. He says there in the middle of the verse, Jonah wanted the wicked Ninevites dead, plain and simple. He said they need to get what they deserve. But then he said, I knew who you were, God. I knew you were gracious. That's his confession, that God is a God of grace. Amen, amen, and amen. He said, I knew you're merciful. God's a God of mercy. God doesn't give us what we deserve. Amen? Thank God. And slow to anger. Boy, we ought to all say amen right there. That God is slow to anger. If he wasn't, forget it. And of great kindness. That's our God. And repentest thee of evil. Does that mean that God's always changing his mind? No, God says this. If you will flee from evil, I will not pour out consequences. I'll not judge you. That's the way God does it. He's built that in. And he said, this was his confession and his prayer. It was not only complaint and confession, but you know what his conclusion was? Just kill me. Again, what are we talking about today? The pouting prophet. The pouting prophet. How many of you kids know Patch the Pirate? Patch the Pirate. Some of you older kids, you can raise your hand too. Amen. Do you remember the Poochie Lip? Amen? The Poochie Lip. Got the Poochie Lip. Jonah is God's version of the Poochie Lip. All these people get saved, turn to God with sackcloth and ashes and repent, and God blesses, and he is upset about it. The provocation, the prayer. I want to tell you where you really get at this in verse 3 is the prejudice. The prejudice. Jonah hated the Ninevites. I'm telling you, I am so sick of the mainstream media and prejudice. I am so sick of it. Listen, I don't care what color you are, Jesus loves you. And I want to love you too, amen? I am so sick of this divide and these people. I love when you see the videos on Facebook of a black police officer and a white guy come up and hug him. And I love that. That's the way it's supposed to be, amen? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And there was just, Jonah had prejudice toward the Ninevites. Now, listen, they had earned it. We talked about how wicked the Ninevites were. They had earned it. Listen, God had blessed. And listen, when it comes to forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen, if God is willing to forgive, then we better well as well. I've said that to precious people in our congregation that love me and knew I had been hurt. And I had forgiven the person that had hurt me. And they said, well, Pastor, I just haven't forgiven yet. And I remember saying to them, look, if I can forgive, you can forgive too. Amen. Amen. Listen, if God was willing to save the Ninevites, you know what Jonah should have said? Whoopee. Hallelujah. Amen. So the provocation, the prayer, the prejudice. What was the problem with Jonah in verses 2 and 3? Number 4, the problem. You know, it's amazing that when I first went to Bible college, the very first class I had, now I was 25 when I went to Bible college, which we all know is not old. Help me, church. Hey, seniors, help me a little bit here. Help me preach a little. It's not old, but I'm going to tell you something. When you've been out of classes for 8 years, you're 17, 18, I went in thinking, oh my goodness, the first class I had was English grammar. I almost reverted back to my Catholic ways and genuflected before I came into class, amen. I thought, oh my goodness, oh, I thought it was going to be Bible, English grammar. First semester I only had one Bible class, Pentateuch, and it was so bad we used to call it re-Pentateuch, amen. And I remember getting into English grammar, and then the teacher was awesome, Mrs. Hollis, and I was still her favorite student. I don't care what you say, Blondie. She loves me. Amen. Let me just do a little English class for you right now. Let's look at verses 2 and 3, and you stick with me for personal pronouns. You know what personal pronouns are? Okay, look at verse 2 and 3. It says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, I fled before Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. And go down to verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. What was the problem? Jonah had spiritual myopia. What is myopia? It's a disease of the eyes. It's a disease of the eyes. It's a disease of the eyes. Get it? Eyes. Eye. He had the big eye problem. Jonah was all about Jonah. Self is exactly right. Not what we were talking about this morning in the stewardship of self, but Jonah was interested in, and by the way, we're going to see it in the rest of the chapter here, the problem. Then, praise God for verse 4, we see the probing. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Have you ever thought about the first question in the Bible? The first question in the Bible is from Satan, and he questioned the Word of God. But the next question after that was when God said to Adam, where art thou? Ladies and gentlemen, when God asks a question, and it's, by the way, it's a tremendous study in the Gospels. Just take those red letters and look for red question marks if you want to do some great study. Look at the questions that Jesus asked. When God asks a question, does He know the answer? Of course He does. He's omniscient. Why then would He ever ask a question? He's probing. He's trying to get us to see truth. So he asks Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? My dad was legendary for this one. I'd walk out of the dining room and the light would be on. And my dad would say to me, were you the last one in there? Now, for those of you that don't know, I'm an only child. So it was either me, mom, or dad. Dad knew it wasn't dad because dad wasn't in there. Mom was nowhere to be found. Dad watched me walk out of the room and then said to me, were you the last one in there? And as I got older, I said, nope, and just kept walking, amen, really fast. No, I would say, yes. He'd say, then turn out the light. Because next time that I walked out of a room where the light was on, pay attention, young people here. Consumers is not free.
Right.
Okay? Next time I walked out of a room that I was the last one out of, he wanted it to be instinctual for me to just go and flick the lights. And you should see me now, bless God, that I'm an adult. I go upstairs and every light is on, the candles are burning, you name it. And I'm just over there going click, click, flick, flick, flick. I want to say to my kids, were you the last one in that room? Amen. Just like my... God is trying to get Jonah's attention, and he's trying to get him to see truth. Trying to see the error of his attitude. So we see there the probing. Next, I think it's number 6. Provocation, prayer, prejudice, problem, probing. We see Jonah's protest. You know what Jonah's protest was? He didn't even answer God. He didn't even answer him. Usually that's about the end of the debate. You have no answer. His protest was verse 5. And Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city and made him a booth and sat under the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He just went out. That's it. We'll see what will happen. Hope they get what's coming to them. Then we see, praise God, when Jonah has his protest, God has the preparations. Verses 6 through 8, you find the phrase, God prepared in each verse. Verse 6, we see that God prepared the shade of the gourd. And it's an interesting, it just goes to show what Jonah said about God in chapter 4, verse 2 is correct. You know what? I think God was helping. By the way, ladies, how'd you like to cook that gourd? That must have been a whopper, amen? But whatever it was, God was just allowing his prophet to cool off a little bit. Just, I'll never forget the only time I had a confrontation with my pastor, the only time. Brother Jim, it was VBS. It was insane. It was just crazy. I mean, kids everywhere. I had driven the bus, worked all day, and somebody had called me and said, could you please make sure the van gets out and picks us up? They were off the route. We couldn't run the bus out there. I said, I'll make it happen. I called the church. Somebody told me it would happen, and it didn't happen. And I'm going to tell you, I was really because of what you dealt with this morning. Just crazy. Ha! And I'll never forget my pastor come up to me and I said, you know what? We didn't pick up kids. And bless God, there are kids that are crying and they didn't get picked up. And I was... My pastor said, whoa. Take it easy. You know what God is really doing here to Jonah? He's saying, just cool off. Cool off. Shh. You know, I like the phrase, I think Jefferson said it, or Washington, I can't remember which, but said, when you're angry, count to 10. And sometimes maybe we ought to count to 100. Sometimes maybe we ought to count to 1,000 and then still not speak. And so we see the preparation there of the shade of the gourd. But then we have the smiting of the worm. The next day, it says in verse 7, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose and the next day, and it smote the gourd and it withered. So God gives him time to cool off, but then takes it away. And then we have the strength of the east wind. Verse 8, it says, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Sounds familiar. Verse 3, it is better for me than to die than to live. Again, it goes back to the problem. What's the problem? Jonah wanted what Jonah wanted. Not what God wanted. Hey, listen, parents, I hope you'll listen to me for just a second. If God wants our babies on the mission field, and that's the best place for them to be. I know our crop's not in, and I see the little sprouts that we have, but listen to me, the will of God is better than the will of Dad. In this case, Jonah just wanted his will. He wanted Nineveh to be wiped out and sit in the shade. See the preparations. And here really in verse 8 and 9, we kind of get the crux of it. We see the pouting. And it came to pass when God had prepared the sun to arise, that the end of verse 8, he wished in himself that he might die. It is better for me to die than to live. Verse 9, it says, and God said unto Jonah, again, same question, doest thou well to be angry? But he says, for the gourd. And this time, Jonah answers, I do well to be angry, even unto death. For a gourd? For a gourd? You weren't angry when all those people in Nineveh were going to die because of the judgment of God. Matter of fact, you were angry. You were happy about it. I've heard preachers preach sometime, and I thought they were happy people were going to hell. I've heard it. I've heard them. No compassion at all. God help us. Listen, we need to preach on hell. This pulpit needs to preach on hell a lot. But it needs to be done with a tear in the eye and a quivering lip. And we don't want people to go to hell. Amen, church? The reason we carry gospel tracts is because we don't want people to go to hell. Pouting. Jonah's pouting here. Let me give you a few points and we'll be through. Verses 9, 10, 11. Verse 10 says, then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left. There's always been some interesting commentary on that. That didn't mean that there were 600,000 people in Nineveh. It's talking about that many being children, not knowing their left. That's a huge amount of people. And God is saying, look, you had pity on this gourd. Why don't you pity people? This is Pastor Appreciation Month, and this is not a plug. Okay? I've said this so many times. Pastor Appreciation Month is December. And you folks know what I'm talking about. Amen. You're so kind to us. But when I think of my pastor, Pastor Tharp, Eric Tharp, I think of something he showed me a long time ago. And he showed me by his own example. And I hope I got it. I really want to. I don't want people to come up and say, you're a great pastor. I don't need that. He showed me that the ministry is helping hurting people. That's what the ministry is. The ministry is, and look, I'm thankful. We mentioned today ERT. I'm thankful that we have folks that clean the church. I'm thankful for, but ministry is people. It's ministering to people. And God was saying here to Jonah, it's just a gourd. It's just a gourd. And you're acting like it's the end of the world. He said, but I just saved all those people and you could care less. You know why? He's the pouting prophet. It's a strange way for this book to end, isn't it? It's a strange ending. So let me ask you just three questions and we'll be done. Because these were all true of Jonah. Do we value our comfort over God's compassion? Say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Do we value our comfort, us being comfortable, over God's compassion to reach people? A lot of people don't witness because they're uncomfortable doing so. It's a probing question. There are times when I'd have to answer yes. And I'd be ashamed. But it'd be better to answer yes, get right with God, than to just let people die and go to hell. Secondly, not only do we value our comfort over God's compassion, do we value the material over the spiritual? Now, I'm talking to people that are in church on Sunday afternoon. Maybe I ought to preach it on Sunday morning. We had 200 on Sunday morning. I think we're probably maybe a little over one tonight. There are times when that person says, oh, going out fishing on Sunday afternoon. You know what they're valuing? The material over the spiritual. They're valuing that material over the spiritual. We can all be that way. Live in this material world. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, Jonah, he valued the gourd more than these souls. He did. That's what it says. We've been guilty of that. Come on, church, help me. We've been guilty of that, valuing the material over the eternal. I've told this story before. I hope you don't get tired of my stories. I try to space them out, but I've told you the story of I preached out and I had, I think it was $50 in my pocket. May have been $100. And I went to a church service. Boy, that was a mistake. Amen. It wasn't a mistake, but it was. I went there and this preacher got up, Brother Bryce. He said, we're trying to get Bibles into Russia. Oh, we're trying to get Bibles into Russia. He said, you know, for $1 we can get 5 Bibles into Russia. And the Holy Spirit starts saying, you know, for $50, and he went up in the progression, and and he got all the way to $50, you know, five for a dollar and 25 for $5 and 50. He said, just imagine $50, get 250 Bibles into Russia. Now the Holy Spirit was going, you got $50 in your pocket. Okay. You got that right. I didn't get any reward for that offering because I definitely gave it grudgingly. And I walked up to the missionary afterwards and I shook his hand, took that $50 that I was going to use for the ministry. I put it in his hand and gave it to him because God dealt with me over the value of the eternal versus the temporal. Now, there have been times I hung on to that $50. I'm not trying to make myself seem like the hero of every story because it's not. But that was one of the times where God just wouldn't leave me alone about it. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're here in this material world for 60, 70, 80, 90 years. We ought to use what we have for Him, for the eternal. I see that missions offering every week. And I tell you this, as long as that missions offering is healthy, this church will stay healthy. We'll stay healthy. We'll try to stay in love with Jesus. We'll try to minimize the fractures that we have, which are always going to have because of people. But the question is, do you value the material over the spiritual? And then lastly, do we value the temporal over the eternal? Same principle. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll close with this verse here, right on time, about 10 after 3 here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please, in verses 17 and 18. I've quoted these verses before. I preach from these verses before. I've helped people that were going through difficulty with these verses before. But they really sum it up for us. Us Christians, we're just strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through, amen? And it says there in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. When you think about our lives in the realm of eternity, it's just a moment. It's like a spark. It goes up and goes out. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here it is. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Ladies and gentlemen, Jonah, when we look at him in his pouting, we could really sum it up that said he did value comfort over compassion. He did value the material over the spiritual. And he did value the temporal of the eternal. Let's not be that pouting prophet. Let's be in line with God's compassion. You know, I think about people that share the gospel in countries where the penalty is death. Once a year, you'll read in North Korea, Uncle Joe, about somebody being arrested there because they had a Bible and they get sentenced to death. Would we? Would we still bring our Bible in? It's a probing question, isn't it? It's a probing question. Let's value the spiritual. This old flesh is going to pass away. Let's value the spiritual things that aren't going to pass away. And let's value the eternal. And nothing is more valuable than a soul. It's worth more than the whole world. Let's be about His business. No need to be the pouting prophet, amen. No need to be like Jonah, that prodigal, that prophet. Let's allow God to work in our hearts and do His work, amen. Father, thank You so much for this wonderful book of the Bible, the book of Jonah. I pray that You would please, Lord, help us to glean. There's so much, Lord, and I know I preach 4 messages, but just really scratch the surfaces. I pray that You would please help us to have compassion. help us to, Lord, just to send the light around the world. God, use us. Thank you for this precious body of believers, their love for you. I pray that you would please bless now in our invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. 122, church, 122. Let's stand. There's a call come ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light.